Factory Backing has been producing custom motocross graphics since 2004. At Factory Backing, they prioritize quality by using the finest vinyl materials available. Their competitive prices might seem surprising, but rest assured, they offer top-notch products specifically designed for motocross and the demands of dirt bike riders. Check them out at factorybacking.com. But act fast, as they are celebrating their 20th anniversary with a 50% off sale. Today I'm joined by Kerry Scheer, and you're a face I have seen around the track in here in California for years and years, right? I think I met you through Pete Martini, my old ad
guy.
Transworld. When I was at Transworld. So obviously you do grindstone, but I've never known exactly the details about how it all works. So I thought it'd be a great idea to get you in to talk about grindstone and what you guys are up to now and talk about the race effort with Dylan Walsh.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, just to start from the beginning, like, so both of my boys raced, Gage and Dylan, and we kind of, we're from San Clemente for about 45 years. And we were doing desert stuff and doing, you know, whatever, like Triple Crowns. And
No, I remember Gage at our race series quite a bit.
Yeah, a ton. And then from there, you know, we started kind of getting a little bit more serious and started like doing some of the more of the nationals. And we actually moved for like a year and did help Shannon and I do a training facility at Compound 77. And then we kind of found like, okay, there was like this need for Southern California to have like an actual training facility. I mean, there's a lot of great trainers in Southern California. But I don't think as far as like, it's more like housing or meeting them at the track and things like that. So we found Grindstone and ended up getting the property. And
So Grindstone is in, what city is that? Marietta?
It's in Marietta.
And it was a, I've seen it. I came to pick someone up there once. It's a big house and then there's a big property behind
it. So it's roughly around 5 acres. There's a house and then the shop area. And for the first, I don't know, 6-7 years, we commuted back and forth from San Clemente.
Did you come over Ortega or did you go up
over Ortega?
Oh, God.
Well, maybe my husband would say, that's not right. I think it was about 5 years. Maybe we commuted for 5 years. I don't know. And then we decided after Gage turned pro, we were like, okay, we're gonna live at the house full time because the commute was a lot with the racing and everything and running the amateur scene and everything. So we moved into the house full time and then rented our house out in San Clemente. So, And then I would say probably around, I think it was 2019. Gage turned pro 2018, and then Gage ended up having a an accident at Seattle Supercross. And so at that point, we were like, gosh, you know, we kind of want to get back to San Clemente at some point. And just recently moved back to San Clemente, and now we commute back and forth again.
Oh, my gosh.
5 days a week.
So, Grindstone then is on 5 acres. It's a it's a big house. People can come stay.
So
a gym or something. I'm
so we use the W training facility for the gym. Basically, it's a like a launch pad, so riders can come and stay. Before I moved back home, back in San Clemente, the past 4 months prior to that, I did all the meals, breakfast and dinner, all the nutrition, fitness training at the track. And so you basically, it's a, it's kind of like an all-inclusive package. You come and do, you know, all the training. And then we go to the tracks to train. So, you know,
Where are the bulk of your, renters or clients from?
All over, honestly.
All over the world
all
or just?
Over. The... Yeah. We've had a ton of people from Canada. I've had a bunch of people from London. Lots of Texas. Florida, I mean, everywhere, lots of people from Washington.
What is the, I don't want to say sales pitch, but what's the allure of Southern California? Obviously, the much of the industry is here. But for me, it's been crazy because like I grew up in Pasadena, right? And when I bought my first house, I was like, oh, I got to go somewhere that's affordable. So I went to Valencia because there's a small motocross community up there and there's a couple tracks and everything. But when that all went away and everything and Transworld got launched, I've moved to Corona and it's like boom, motocross heaven. But then all this trend lately of guys going to Florida or, you know, train back east and everything. But what is the What's the pitch you guys use to pitch
California? I mean, maybe in the beginning we had a pitch. Like, I think Grindstone's taken some time to get known, but I think at this point people know where Grindstone is and what Grindstone's about. But I mean, it has changed quite a bit in the past, I would say probably like the past year and a half. Like, it's changed a lot. Like, that's why a lot of people are going to Florida and going, you know, maybe to, you know, MTF or club or whatever. Here, like, Grindstone's a little different than some of the other training facilities because we're such a smaller hub. You know, we house about 15 riders total. Mm-hmm. And it's more, I think, gosh, more like, I would say, like, family-based, right? I think a lot of the other facilities, they go back to their trailers or whatever after they're done with the training. Well, we've always, you know, we have Taco Tuesday, you know, together. And we, you know, we're together a lot, you know. So, and I think also, you know, one of the draws for Southern California, I think, too, is, I mean, you can go to the track and there's always someone that's faster than you.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So, like, you're going to be able to have, I mean, still a lot of the industry is still here, you know. So, I think that's a good, a big draw for a lot of the young families and the young riders, you know.
Do you have in-house mechanics to help the guest riders
so,
out?
So, yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of, we have a lot of guys that help. When, like I said, when we lived at the facility, my husband, Brian, but he works for Twisted now full-time, so he's not available as much. But, you know, we used to, you know, that's why he's called So Burnt, because I would grind him out. He would work all day at Twisted and then do all the mechanic stuff at the end of the night, you know, when he would get home. But, no, but I have side guys that help, like, with the side work and stuff like that. A lot of, some of the guys will come with mechanics and, but a lot of the boys do it all on their own, you know, for the most part.
Do you have mostly, pro guys, amateurs, a big mix?
So it's shifting, minis, shifting a bit, you know, I mean, to go kind of highlight a little bit about the team that we're doing, Host Grindstone Kawasaki, I had always wanted to do a supercross team. It's kind of like that next bucket list for me. And to be honest, I mean, the plan was years ago wanting to do that for Gage. And then when Gage had an accident and went kind of a different direction with his career, I think realizing I still really wanted to do it. Now, having the team with Dylan Walsh, now I have, I train Robbie Wageman, Max Sanford, Duran Stapleton. The Supercross effort, it's kind of shifted a little bit for pros, right? We have, like, the compound's also really great because it's a launch pad for, like, West Coast Supercross guys that are coming. You know, like, Lance Kobisch is staying there right now, a guy named Doc Smith, Mitchell Odenberg's there, right? It's just a place for them to stay, you know, a bike wash, you know, a hub that's close to everything. So it's kind of, you know, like I said, transitioning a little bit to pro, but I still have quite a few amateur kids that are working towards Loretta's and, you know.
Yeah. So I always tripped out because, like, you know, I'm Southern California my whole life. But, like, you hear about parents just dropping their kids off at MTF or something in a trailer, like little kids and leaving them, like, to go to boot camp. Do you have families like that that will just bring a little mini rider and see ya?
So for me, you know, for the most part, most of my riders are older. I always felt like, okay, would I want to drop off my son at 12 years old, 10 to 12 years old, and say, later, good job, you know, good luck, son, you know, or daughter, whatever. But, you know, because at that age, you know, there's just a lot of the way they talk and, you know, from 12 to 20, like, you know, you can't control everything. And and I can't watch over 100%. I didn't want to babysit. I really wanted to be not more of a, you know, it's not Camp Snoopy. You know, I think we're a little bit more serious. You know, we have a good regimen schedule. I try to line it up in the beginning when I first opened a pro schedule for amateurs to make sure, like, hey, you're saying this is what you really want to do. Now, do you want to do the work for it, right? So I don't really take a lot of younger kids at this point, you know. And mostly with me moving back to San Clemente, now I just, I have, most of my guys are older. Yeah. I would say, you know, 16 and up.
Okay.
You know?
San Clemente commute. Yeah. Commute is gnarly.
It's crazy.
So are you still cooking meals a day there?
No, I quit. I mean, it's crazy. For 10 years, I did at least 10 people for breakfast and dinner for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Plus training, plus gym, plus like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And now like since we've been home, I'm like, my husband's like, are we cooking anything? I'm like, no. Never again.
Uber Eats.
Never again. No, just kidding. So yeah. Yeah. No more cooking. We can do some like meal prep stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was saying, this is a new transition for us not living there.
Yeah.
And so Ben Griffith. I don't know if you know Ben Griffith. That's Joe Shimoda's mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
His girlfriend is doing some meal prep stuff.
Okay.
With Club Local. So I think we're going to start using her and having some of the riders be able to have some good, you know, good meals so these guys aren't running out and just grabbing Mexican food or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A, which is half of their favorite meal. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I always see you at the track. You always stand in the middle of the track. And you're always telling guys what to do. Like, where did you gain your experience to help coach riders? Did you think it was just bringing your sons up or?
No. So when I was younger, I never rode at like any professional level or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, my boys always laugh because I was like, hey, my claim to fame was Johnny Campbell had asked me to fill in for their 24 hour.
Oh, wow.
So that's my biggest claim to fame. Uh-huh. That's it. Uh-huh. You know, but I raced a lot as far as like small races and things like that, but had a love and passion for the sport. And my husband rode a lot, you know, quite a bit when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And then as my kids started riding, and I always had done fitness my whole life, classes and this and that, and I was a fitness trainer. So it kind of just all morphed together and then it just grew, you know, from, you know, training Gage and Dylan. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know, my friend wants to be trained. Okay, I'll do that too. And then, I mean, I think my husband and I were on an average figuring like 4 days a week for the past 18 years I've been at the track.
Wow.
You know? So I think with that amount of time, I've just, you know, I think a lot of the debate was always like, oh, you know, like, why are you having, you know, her train you? She's never raced Supercross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or she's never, I just think, I've learned a lot in the past 20 years, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, being that present, you know, on a daily basis. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I know we all offer something good, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you touched on, but what is Gage doing now?
So kind of a crazy story. Right before Gage got injured, he did outdoors and was. We were in New Jersey, and one of the riders that I trained, he ended up, his dad was a precious metal broker. And he's like, hey, like, if you want to come and check out and see what I do, you know, while you guys are staying here on your day off, come check it out. And Gage is like, oh, yeah, I'm really interested in that, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he came for a couple of days, taught him a couple of things, right? And then we went home. And then when the season ended for that outdoor season, Gage went back for a month, and he kind of took him under his wing and at Ridgewood Coin in New Jersey. And so he ended up taking under his wing, taught him some more stuff. And it was kind of like a sort of like a plan B. Gage was still really racing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we had that unfortunate accident in Seattle. And Craig Sklar called and said, hey, get him out of there. He's not going to want to live at a training facility, you know, because we thought maybe it was going to be done indefinitely. So he moved there, and he was there for like 16 months and worked at his place there in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, ended up coming home for COVID a couple months and was like, okay, huh, maybe I want to ride again. Raced another season of outdoors and then got a job at Tangible Investments in Laguna Beach.
No, wow.
So he's slinging gold and silver, I guess, and coins. Which is kind of crazy, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, you know, you never would think that it would lead to something completely polar opposite. Yeah, but he's really doing good.
Well, I'm going to have to get his info.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after my... I found silver bars in my freezer.
Yeah.
That was my dad's. Uh-huh. So I've got these silver bars at home. I don't know, see what they're worth.
He's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy now. Yeah, it's amazing the stuff he's learned. So yeah, he loves it. He's going to be, I think, he's been talking about opening a new place. So.
Wow, that's awesome. Tell him I said congratulations.
Yeah, I will. But yeah, so we're really excited. I'm really excited for Anaheim is finally here. And as everybody knows, it's a lot of effort to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see, like, you know, with the efforts of doing a team, it's a lot more than I think a lot of people realize, you know, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, everybody tries it, right? I don't know. Who knows? I mean, my goal is to grow it. I wanted to see, I wanted to help because when Gage raced, you know, there's the factory and then there's that just right underneath the factory level kind of riders. And there's not a ton of support there, you know? And I felt like, you know, main event guys should be able to make some kind of money.
Yeah.
You know, if they're making main events on a consistent basis, like, so I think a lot of the dream of mine of having my own team was like, could I have a legit team that with all the resources of, well, not all the resources, but as much of the resources as I could, as a second tier team, you know, with travel and salary and, you know, a good solid bike, you know, cause Jamie and, Ellis and Brian are doing bikes at Twisted. Yeah. So like, I mean, I think we've got a good base, you know, to have them. I mean, I think the ultimate goal obviously is always to be on a factory ride. And so hopefully, I'm a stepping stone. Stepping block for the riders that come through the team is my hopes, you know?
All right. So tell me more about, I'm looking at your jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, but Host Grindstone Kawasaki.
Yeah.
Okay. So last year, all right. So, you know, Alex Ray has a lot to do with Swap Metal Live.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he's doing this private jet thing. I'm going to help you as much as I can.
Yeah.
So I got some sponsors together. I did posters and I actually helped him put a bike together and everything. So just on that small level, I know how much is involved, right?
Yeah.
You're doing a team. I saw you had the trailer. I passed you on the freeway this morning. I'm like, hey, that's Kerry right there.
Yeah.
But what a massive undertaking. How long has it been in the works?
Gosh. Well, so like I said, I've always wanted to do it for years. I met Dylan a few years back, and then he came over and did like a small effort. I think we did two or three supercrosses, you know, and I started working with Dylan as far as training and stuff for him. And
was
then,
he like a Grindstone resident?
No, he's from England.
No, I know.
Or, well, like he's actually from New Zealand. It's very confusing, but...
But is that how you...
He just got contacted me, said he wanted to come over and come over for a few months before this season. It ended up being... Like, I think that year he only came for, I don't know, I think it was like 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
And we did a few rounds, and then he went home. And then we did the efforts a little bit larger. He was riding for Revo in England. And then we kind of grew it a little bit more last year. And then this year with Revo ended up thinking about doing, like, all the MXGPs. And I decided, like, I just want to do this on my own.
So he's here for the whole West Coast Supercross
series. Yeah. Nice. So he's been here preseason. We've been training for the past couple months and, it's quite the effort. It is quite the effort. Yeah. Oh, I started off, I think one of the great things is I have some really great relationships, in the sport and in the industry and then outside of it too. And so, Host is our title sponsor.
Mm-hmm. What is Host? What is that brand?
Host is a like a travel. Oh gosh, I'm starting to think of the correct way to say it. It's like a travel travel stop hotel in Quebec.
Okay.
So they sell fuel. They have a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hotel for it's basically like a truck stop ish, right? They've stepped up a great amount for me. And then also I have Cat Exteriors from Anaheim. Mm-hmm. And so they do windows and roofing and, you know.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
How did you get a Canadian truck stop hotel chain to sponsor a team in the U.S.? Are they down here as well?
Yes. No, they're not. So I trained their son.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go.
So I met their son, Lucas, long time. About, it's been a little over a year. And he came for, was supposed to be here for 2 weeks. And he's been here for over a year.
Oh, wow.
Barely left. Maybe gone home to visit a couple times. But yeah, and it just kind of worked out. And we became really close and had a good relationship. Mm-hmm. And they were interested in supporting the team.
That's awesome.
So it was really awesome. So I have them. And then I worked years ago for a company called Truth. Do you remember Truth, Soul Armor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So I was a sales rep for them years ago for Jeff Ray, and he has JL Ray Construction Roofing in San Clemente. Mm-hmm. So I've known him since I was like 16, and he heard about what we were doing. And so he's definitely a big, big supporter of the team too. So that's been awesome. So, yeah. And then
I'm assuming Twisted is doing your engines.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously.
I mean, God, what better place? I mean, obviously your husband works there, but
100%.
Everything Jamie and his crew touch is just.
And they've just, oh my gosh. I mean, there's some new packages for the Kawasaki, and they, I mean, it's just getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with it. And Jamie and, I mean, my husband kind of has to because he's my husband, right? Help me a bit. But Jamie has stepped up to the plate and helping me just, you know, make sure I have a really competitive bike. So I'm really excited to see what that's going to do for when we line up in a couple days.
So the team is just Dylan then, right?
It's just Dylan,
one
yeah.
Rider.
Like I was saying, I really wanted to, I personally, of course, want to grow it fast.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, hey, you know, I just feel like, okay, semi, you know, that kind of like stamps it a little bit. But I felt like I wanted to work on the interior of it first, right? And get everything I can possibly, you know, as far as like parts and, you know, bikes and just get everything to where that it ran real smoothly first. And then I'll grow it slowly, organically. I kind of said semi before salary, right?
Yeah.
So obviously I think, you know, some riders would rather have, you know, the semi first, right? But I think that, you know, if you're older, you need to make some money, you're paying rent. Like, so that's kind of where my base is. Next year I will have, I've already purchased a semi.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm just going to.
Doing big things.
I'm going to use that for next year, and I will have two riders next year.
Wow.
For sure.
Okay, is Kawasaki helping the effort? That's in the title.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, they are, and I'm hoping that they'll help continue and just kind of see our efforts and continue on for next year because I love the bike. So.
Yeah. I see an Enzo logo on your wrist.
Yes, yep. So
I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah. They've been great. Oh my gosh, what a difference. You know, we switched suspension to them. Gage ran Enzo for years and years, and then we switched to Enzo this year for Dylan, and Dylan says, oh my gosh, night and day different.
Yeah, Chase filmed him at Elsinore a couple weeks ago, and he said he's ripping.
Yeah.
So what sort of goals and expectations do you have for Mr. Walsh?
So when I think about it, last year he was top 10 into the fifth round, and then he ended up having an injury. Mm-hmm. He broke his leg. And he's definitely a different rider this year than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also, I mean, it's extremely stacked, but it seems like it's pretty stacked every year. This year seems obviously a little bit more stacked than usual, right? I'd be happy to start with that. You know, but I think that he is capable of even doing quite a bit better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I'm seeing,
How old is he?
He just turned 26.
26.
Yeah.
So is he pretty receptive to you training him? Like,
yeah, he's good.
Like, are you like, the upshift in those whoops?
Yeah, you know, yes, I mean, Carrie. Sometimes he's ornery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, who isn't? But, yeah, no, he's really receptive. You know, he's, I mean, one reason, I mean, he's a great guy to support because, like, he's pretty flawless as far as, like, his program goes. He doesn't skip a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think he had 200 and, I don't even know, he sent me a thing, 299 days of training this year.
Oh,
you know
wow.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and he just lives and breathes it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's, and his work ethic is really good, you know? So
yeah.
I'm excited to see, like, I mean, hopefully all of his hard work kind of, you know, I mean, I know everybody works hard, but
mm-hmm.
some work partial, you know?
Yeah. 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 You know, it's, what strikes me about this is, you know, neither of your boys race anymore.
Yeah.
Right. But you're still here.
Yeah.
So you're doing it out of a love for the sport and you know, a talent you have.
Yeah.
And it's funny because for parents to continue after their kids are done.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I went through a transition. I'm not, you know, not going to lie. When Gage got hurt, it was like, oh my gosh, like, have I been doing all this for my boys, right? Like, mm-hmm. did I do it for just for the mere fact of Gage racing, you know? And it took me about 6 months because I was like, oh, like, what do I want to do, you know? But then I realized, like, I mean, I have a passion for the sport. Mm-hmm. I always have. You know, when I was younger, I had a passion for it. And I mean, I just don't think I could do anything else at this point, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing it so long. And I don't know. I just love... the relationships mm-hmm. I have and I'm so competitive, you know, I really am. So that competitive side of me, I think is helpful. You know, my nickname's the General. So I don't know. I know there's other generals out there, but
yeah,
but I think that like, I don't know. I mean, I have a soft side and then also have a pretty stern side, you know, with my riders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think they respect me. So I think we have good relationships together. There's some good boundaries. You know, I think some have said, you know, because of my relationships with my riders, we're real close. And it's, you know, business mixes in with, personal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think that's why I think it does so well. Because a lot of my riders, like Robbie Wageman, I mean, I've been working on and off with Robbie for 8 years mm-hmm. plus, you know. I mean, I think they, at that point, you know, you start at a certain age and then all of a sudden, like, they're, you know, you start in young years and now they're men, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So you have more of a relationship than just, you know, training. I'm just training them. Like, mm-hmm. I think I genuinely have a care for my riders, like, on a personal level too, you know?
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Well, yeah. Now I know when I see you at the track, I'll know what you're up to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And then I was going to say, you know, we've been doing, I'm hoping for next year, something a little bit like I've been running the Elsinore Supercross track.
Mm-hmm.
And the hopes was to have a couple other tracks too, but like with, like, we only have Elsinore and
Fox Raceway.
Fox. And we have, I mean, there's Hemet too, but it's like, oh my goodness. It's like been quite the struggle trying to.
Yeah. We've lost some tracks.
Lost some tracks. Yeah. We just need somebody to open a few tracks up for us. You know,
right?
We need some super, like a bunch of Supercross tracks, you know, that'd be helpful. You know,
I was always thinking, I wonder if Jeff Blackmore would build a Supercross track on his property. He's got that big pad in the back, right?
Yeah, I think the problem is, like, right, to build a Supercross track and to run a Supercross, you're not making any money.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just doing it. The people are doing it because they love the sport, not because they're, like, walking away with a lot of money, you know?
5 acres, it sounds like there might be room there.
Too many houses?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
You can get them trained on electric bikes.
Yeah, well, we thought about that. We had, like, a pump track, years back,
mm-hmm.
and that's when, oh, my gosh, I'm blanking.
Stark?
No.
Or Alta?
Alta.
Yeah.
Yes. And I had pitched, hey, you can put a Supercross track here, you know, because it was quiet. It would have worked, you know? But who knows? We might be going back to that anyways, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Let's hope not.
But anyhow, thanks for coming by. Yeah. I know it's a busy week for you.
Yeah, well, thank
busy
you.
Busy week for all of us with Anaheim 1 looming. I sure hope Dylan performs up to your expectations and goals.
Thank you.
And congrats on bringing another team to the sport. I mean, it's awesome every time a new team comes up and supports riders and
thank you.
That. And I'll be keeping an eye out. What's his number this year?
88.
Yeah. Was it 101 in the past?
Yeah. The last year was 79.
Okay.
So, yeah.
88. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll keep an eye out for number 88.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for checking out the Midweek Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
Factory Backing has been producing custom motocross graphics since 2004. At Factory Backing, they prioritize quality by using the finest vinyl materials available. Their competitive prices might seem surprising, but rest assured, they offer top-notch products specifically designed for motocross and the demands of dirt bike riders. Check them out at factorybacking.com. But act fast, as they are celebrating their 20th anniversary with a 50% off sale.